Hello there, world. It's 1 a.m. Welcome to the Colombian Catwoman podcast, aka Jeanette. My heart's heavy, so I can't start off this podcast in a joyful mood because that's not how I feel. I can't sleep. So I decided to get my thoughts out there. I'm going to try and keep this podcast as short as possible because I know it's a lot of information to digest. There's so much I want to say. I'm going to start off with no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. And I say that because we see a lot of racism and death on the TV that directly and indirectly affects the black community in particular. Disproportionately is really the term that I want to use. And we see these images coming out of the USA primarily and coming out of African countries. And there's a big blur in between of the black experience elsewhere. So we see images of lynchings from the US from 50 years ago to recent times, to the body of little 14-year-old Emmett Till. We know about these American stories and hardships, and we see them on a daily basis. A man being killed by a police officer in broad daylight. We see these images regularly. The link that I want to make here is that as a black British person, we are directly and indirectly affected by these images that we see. For the average non-person of colour, you can go about your everyday life and think, oh, somebody I think was killed in America and it's terrible. Let's get on with our lives. For the average black person, we have to think about so much more. We are going through a worldwide pandemic, coronavirus, and everywhere that we see, black people are again disproportionately affected by the coronavirus. We know that in the US that's the case. We've seen African countries that have been hit hard by coronavirus and lack of resources. The Guardian UK states that black people in the UK are more than twice in terms of the numbers of coronavirus cases in the UK, more than two times the number. So we make up like maybe 8% of the population in the UK, but we are more than two times more likely to get coronavirus. Does that make any sense to you mathematically? So we see these images coming out of the US. We see these images coming out of African countries. And then people in the UK think, non-people of colour in the UK think, this isn't the British experience. We're fine in the UK. Everything's okay. We aren't lynching people in the UK. And black people aren't dying of starvation like we see these other images, one extreme to the other. But we need to acknowledge that if you are a person of colour living anywhere in the world, you feel these attacks, these violent and vicious attacks on black people wherever they are. We know that that could have been me or my brothers if we were living there. That's how hard these attacks hit us. So, in the UK, shit's real as well. You might have forgotten, but Stephen Lawrence, a young black man who was killed in the UK by young white people, and they were all acquitted of that murder. He would have been the same age. We were born, I think, in the same year. And that's never left me, that his family fought tooth and nail for his killers to be brought to justice, but nothing happened. That hits me as a black British person. So it's not these abstract cases that we see in America, in countries in Africa and the continent of Africa. These cases are closer to home. We have the fact that black British people are more affected by COVID, which is a new pandemic. We have the fact that black people are stopped and searched, young black males in the UK, and that has been the case for decades. My eldest brother is almost 50, and he talks about when he was walking the street as a young person going to his friend's house, and the police would stop him for no reason and ask him where he's going and what he's doing and where he's come from. He's a young 14-year-old boy, and we lived in a very predominantly white area. So you imagine these things happening to people over the years, time and time and time again, being handcuffed, being apprehended by the police, being asked questions and challenged for no reason in school. I'm one of four. Two of my siblings were expelled from the same school. Coincidence, you might ask? Maybe not. But what happens to a family when children are expelled? What happens to those siblings? What happens to those kids' futures? Where do they go? So you can imagine that those siblings that were expelled from St. Thomas Aquinas School, I will say the name, I don't care. You can imagine that their trajectory was extremely difficult and continues to be difficult because of that experience. Now, I'm not saying that people are all good and people are all bad, but what I'm saying is that the black British experience is real, and we might not have as many images on the TV, as many programs, there might not be as many people talking about it, and this is also going to be an issue because we see these external images from the US and from African countries, but the shit's real for black British people. So in a very small family of six, two children were expelled from the same school within a period of less than 5 years. One was just left to hang and dry, and the other one was sent to a pupil referral unit, which is a terrible place full of kids with loads of behavioural problems, and the intention isn't teaching these kids really, it's just keeping them in a space where they're not causing harm to other people. So one sibling, early experiences of police detaining, asking questions, challenging that person. Two siblings expelled from school permanently. Mark Duggan is another case in more recent years. It's almost 10 years ago. However, Mark Duggan was killed by the police in the UK. The case went to trial, and again, the police officers were acquitted. So we have young males acquitted of the Stephen Lawrence case. We have police officers acquitted of the Mark Duggan case. The family took the police to court again and again. And you can imagine the pressure on one family to take the police to court. We're talking about institutional mechanisms that are in place to do what they want to do to us as citizens. The amount of energy and time and money and resources that would have to go into changing and challenging the status quo. And the Duggan family continue to fight the police And it's heartbreaking. It's fucking heartbreaking. So, stop and search, coronavirus, education. I've talked about my siblings. Just continuing with education. I'm one of four, and all four of us left school with virtually no qualifications. All four of us. I'm the only one to have academic qualifications, and my life is nowhere near as easy as it should be, considering the qualifications that I've got and the experiences that I've had. What I can talk about is the bullying in the workplace that I've experienced. What I can also talk about is my mental health being fragile at different times, and rather than being supported by peers, by colleagues, and by employers, definitely experienced negative relationships, ending of contracts, bullying in the workplace, intimidation, breaking down in tears, being held by colleagues. The list goes on. When we try to move up and we try to move out, as a black British person, the options are quite limited. Do we go, my parents were from the Caribbean, do we go to the Caribbean, which is where our parents were from, and do what? Do we go to other countries in Europe? Is it, are race relations any better in other parts of Europe as a European black person? Because that's what we're talking about now. Do we go to African countries to try and make a better life for ourselves? Where do we go and what do we do? Adding on to all of that, me personally, I'm a lesbian. So the options of places that I can go to and live a full life are even more restricted and limited. So for black people in Europe, quite often, speaking for myself and a good friend of mine, a French friend, we look to the US as a place of opportunities, as a place where black people can grow, as a place where black people can excel, as a place where black people are entrepreneurs and successful. But look at what the US offers black Americans. So where do we go? No blacks, no dogs, no Irish in the UK. That's not necessarily the case anymore. But once you've had the traumas from an early age, you remember this shit. This shit doesn't go away. As a young girl going to friends' houses and being told by my friends that I couldn't go into their house, my white friends, and I didn't get it initially. I didn't understand why the others could go in, but I wasn't allowed in their house. And then they say, oh, my dad's a bit funny, my dad's a bit, or my brother. It was generally the males in the family. I lived in a predominantly white neighbourhood, predominantly Irish neighbourhood, and very working class. So as a girl, I can't go into my friend's house. I had to wait outside whilst the others went in. Imagine. We have to deal with attacks from every single angle. Whether we look at famine, whether we look at war, whether we look at slavery, whether we look at education, which I've talked about, we look at job opportunities. Laws had to be put in place, equal opportunities, race relations. I mean, so many laws had to be put in place because shit was just ridiculous. And even with those laws in place, we still don't have the same opportunities. So in the US, they have positive discrimination in the US, where a certain number of positions have to be given to people of who are non-white. And that has to be done because people just don't get the jobs on their merits because of the name, because of the way we look, because of the way we dress, because of the way that we sound, because of the fear of who we are. So black women have been sexualized for centuries. So Sarah, I can't remember her name, she was an African slave and she was paraded around because she had a big butt and tits. And she died of a young age of sexual diseases because she was raped and sold. But this is the history of how we're seen in the world. And black women, in particular in this instance, were demonized for having afros, wearing afros to work, having big bums, big breasts, big hips. But once Jennifer Lopez and Kim K came on the scene with their big butts, it was okay for black women to have big butts. The world's now okay with that. We are fucking hated so much in this world, and our culture is raped and loved at the same time. This is the black British experience. This is real. When the police talk about the Mark Duggan case, they say, sorry, we got it wrong. Like they're talking about a motherfucking maths exam. This is not a maths exam. This is somebody's son, somebody's father. We're not talking about criminals versus non-criminals, but we can, because black people also commit crimes. But when we commit crimes, those crimes are punished more severely than the white counterparts. And that's the case in the UK and the same case in the USA. Similarly, UK, US, we make up a small percentage of the population, maybe like less than 10% in the UK and maybe less than 10% in the US. However, I'm not too sure about the stats in the US. However, we make up the largest percentage of prisoners in prison. And that's the case for women and also for men. How is that? So education, body being demonized, sexualized, school, slavery, housing. Where do we go? Where is safe for us? I'm so glad that my brothers are not 14, 15 years old anymore. They're now big people who can speak for themselves. And in the UK, my youngest nephew is in his 20s. So I don't have to live in fear of him walking the streets and of things happening, either of knife crime, which is a reality within the culture and those people are punished, or of inequality, police brutalities. I can't be happy to say any of this. I don't know what the answer is in terms of the future, because people don't get it. They think, I'm not racist, it's okay. And I was discussing this with a school friend today on social media, and they made the comment of, we hope that black parents are having the conversation about race with our kids. Just to amplify my response to that person and everybody else, black people aren't judges, black people aren't police officers, black people aren't teachers predominantly, black people aren't doctors, black people aren't in positions of power, generally giving the jobs to whoever they want to. Black people are on the other side of those situations. So we are always being judged by those people who are in those positions of authority, police officers, doctors, treating us like we're crazy. I can talk about so much. There's so much that I can talk about. But it's not all my business to talk publicly. But what I can say is, it's not the black American experience that we're only feeling. It's the years and years of hatred that we've experienced in our own country, and a feeling of nowhere to go, nowhere is safe for us. Local doctors, my mother on her deathbed in the hospital, and my brothers crying and fighting with the doctors to get my mum treated. And my mum was treated like she had a broken toe or a broken foot or something like that. Just sit down and relax and we'll get to you. we'll get to you when it's your turn. My mother was dying of a pulmonary embolism, and my brothers fought tooth and nail to get the help that she deserved. And we went to a tribunal, and they said, sorry, we don't know if we'd have treated her earlier, if we'd have been able to do anything. We did what we could. Sorry. Sorry. This is the answer. This is always the answer. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Sorry doesn't mean fucking shit when our mother was being judged because she's black and overweight, and they just gave her fucking gas and air and made her sit down and take gas and air and wait in the queue like everybody else. She was fucking dying. And then when it was too late, they tried to save her. You have to know that we're tired. We're tired of having to explain all of these inequalities. We're tired of having to explain how the world works to people that think that they are not part of the problem. To people that don't understand white privilege and what the fuck it means. To people that don't understand the term people of colour. I put out requests on various Facebook pages asking for guests for my podcast, respectfully asking for women of colour who are lesbians, and the amount of comments that come back from fucking non-women of colour saying stupid, sarcastic, racist comments. Why do I have to deal with that when I'm asking for guests for a podcast? What's the matter with people? Why do they have to respond to things that don't belong to them? Why is there so much hatred in the world? It's tiring. It's tiring to feel it from every single angle. Every single day, another brother in America, another sister in America, unlawfully killed. And lack of support, lack of help, lack of social housing, so many problems. Black people demonized left, right, and center, and this is from a very, very early age. I want to leave on a high note, but that's not the case for today. Think about your white privilege. Think about the fact that I can tell you my house has been raided by the police. I've visited siblings in prison. Two of my siblings were expelled from school. One of my siblings was sectioned. The list goes on and on. My mother was failed when she went to hospital. She'd already been triaged by a local doctor. She was taken into hospital on an ambulance. The hospital and the doctors had already triaged her, and then they put her back in triage again. These are just a few things that I want to share with people. This is not just the American experience or the African country going through a civil war or a genocide or a massacre or poverty or famine, a dying child. And we see these images, but these are the things that are going on the real in the UK. And our family's quite a lucky family. Our family's quite an educated family, considering my brothers don't have formal education, don't have formal qualifications. They've got the education, but not the qualifications. We're pretty smart, and we've experienced all that shit. Imagine what it's like. Just try to think about your white privilege. It doesn't mean that I am saying or we are saying that you in particular are racist. Maybe you are. We all are, because you have to acknowledge that too. We all have our prejudices. We all have our beliefs. We all have the things that we were brought up with. But the difference is, how do I not choose to deny someone the right? How do I speak to that person? How do I look at that person? How do I treat that person? How does my colleague, my boss, how do my friends, how does my partner, How do the people in power treat those people? When there's an injustice, what do I do? Do I stay silent? Or do I talk about it? Yes, you better motherfucking talk about it. As the saying goes, if you are part of the solution, you're part of the problem. The next podcast from the Colombian Catwoman, aka Jeanette, will be on a very different topic, but I just needed to share that with the world tonight. My heart's heavy. We are tired. We long for better days. We long for safer days. We long for better treatment. We long for a better world. Over and out, world. Take care. Bye-bye.